This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Three more brand new smartphones today for review. This is part two of our extensive smartphone reviews. Last week, I played around with the ZTE Exynos Elite, Huawei's P8, and also the LG G4. This week, it's all about Sony. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and you're listening to Tech Talk. So let's start with the highest model that I got to play with. And no, I didn't get to play with the Z5, but I got to play with the Z3 Plus Dual, launched middle of this year and packed some really impressive hardware. It's a 5.2-inch IPS LCD display with Sony's typical aluminium body, which makes this device feel really expensive. It's also IP68, just like most Sony smartphones today, it's dust and water resistant. However, it is not for you to take underwater, according to Sony. It's more like for washing the back of your phone in the sink if you spill a coffee on it or something. Comes with Android 5.0 and Marshmallow to be updated soon, the Snapdragon 810 processor, and yes, there are some issues with this processor, and we'll get to that very soon. 32GB of storage, 3 gigs of RAM, micro SD card slot, and all that good stuff. Camera on the back is a whopping 20.7 megapixels, and that's a lot. And then it has a 5.1 megapixel at the front. On the software side of things, Sony are one of those big players in the Android world that they don't really do much skin on top of a stock Android. So it really does feel very stock Android with the Z3 Plus, and also with a lot of Sony smartphones as well. And that's a great thing because, you know, the experience is very fast. It's very smooth. And what Sony adds in that I'm personally a fan of this is the PlayStation Remote Play feature that allows you to stream your games on the PS4 directly to your mobile phone, and that's absolutely fantastic to be playing on your mobile phone. Now, this feature only works with selected Xperia phones, but thankfully it does work with the Z3. Connecting your PS4 is super easy. Connecting to your DualShock controller is easy as well. Playing games on your PS4 onto your smartphone, you're using the DualShock 4 controller, which makes you sometimes forget that you're utilizing your smartphone screen to display the game. It's actually that seamless. The camera on the Sony, as mentioned, is a whopping 20.7 megapixel lens. And to be really honest with you, it's slightly disappointing because of the number that's thrown into you. You expect a lot from a camera with that megapixel ability. However, the results from shooting in superior auto mode were not really impressive. Well, it felt a bit grainy, a bit washed out. The dynamic range from this camera is the major reason for this year. I mean, indoors with a more balanced lighting produced better results, but outdoors with bright sunny days and tall buildings with shadows, it didn't quite produce the result that I was expecting for. But that doesn't mean it is a terrible camera. It is good, but could be better, especially when you throw around the word 20.7 megapixels camera. And then came along a host of issues with this phone when I was using the camera outdoors, and that is the Snapdragon 810 processor. This phone is hot, like literally hot. This phone is on fire. The camera on the phone shuts down on me due to overheating barely a minute of using it, and it took nearly 10 minutes to cool down before I could snap a picture again. And the phone was just really too hot to hold or, you know, to just be kept in the pocket. And even with Remote Play, the phone did heat up quite a bit, and it made me wonder if the reason of this excessive heat is because of the water-resistant feature. I mean, the Snapdragon 810 does have some heat issues, but it's very much more prevalent in the Z3 Plus, and I'm guessing it's probably because of the water-resistance feature. Overall, the Z3 Plus, it promised a lot on paper. It felt great in your hands when you take it out of the box. It feels really expensive. It is definitely have one of the best Android software UIs out there because it's nearly stock. But none of this actually matter when the phone is barely usable because of the heat out there. It's retailing at $2,599 as well, which is not quite cheap. Thankfully though, this Sony Z5 has been launched in Malaysia, and this is an update to the Z3 Plus with a better camera, hopefully. And hopefully they have sorted out the overheating issues as well. The retail price for the Z5 goes at 2,699 ringgit, ringgit, which is only 100 ringgit more, so it's definitely worth checking that out instead. Now we will stop for a few commercial breaks, and when we come back, we will talk about the Sony M5 Dual, the Sony C4 Dual, and I have a very special headphones review unit as well. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu, and you're listening to me reviewing three more smartphones. The last week, I did the Huawei P8, the LG G4, and also the ZTE Exxon Elite. This week, I'm doing three Sony smartphones, and early on, I did the Z3 Plus Dual, and now it's the Sony M5 Dual. This is a mid-range smartphone that is very popular with the Chinese manufacturers, so Sony too now have started to challenge the mid-range market with this new version of the M-series phone. And like any mid-range smartphone, the hardware spec on paper is amazing. It's a 5-inch IPS LCD display, dual SIM, Android 5.0, 16 gigs of storage, 3 gigs of RAM, micro SD card slot, 21.2 megapixel with face detection autofocus, and a 13 megapixel front camera. So the camera apparently on paper looks to be better than the Z3 Plus, which is going to be quite surprising. And like the elder brother Z3 Plus, the body is full aluminium and also IP68 dustproof and water resistant. Now the M5 may come in at the mid-range smartphone price, but don't be fooled by the price tag. In terms of hardware and look and feel of the phone, it's certainly up there. The display is very bright and it's a very well saturated as well. It may not be the brightest smartphone screen out there, but it's good enough for usage under direct sunlight. Out of the box, the M5 Dual runs Lollipop with Sony's typical minimal UI skin on top of it. Performance-wise, so this is not powered by Snapdragon's overheating processor. Instead, it is a 2GB octa-core MediaTek X10 processor, 3 gigs of RAM, and you'd be happy to know that the phone doesn't overheat and it doesn't shut down. However, with more intense gaming like Modern Combat 5, the phone tends to start pushing its limit and starts to generate a bit of heat, and you will then see the phone start to slow down. But for your average use, not gaming heavy, it's more than capable. The camera does a fairly good job, especially when it's packing a 21 megapixel. Under low light, it starts to be a bit grainy, but besides that, it is a very good camera. The one thing that the Xperia M5 Dual does quite well is actually the selfies, and there's quite good details and very little noise in well-lit situations. The 4K camera on the rear was good as well. However, shooting 4K does tend to really push the camera, and it generates a bit of heat as well because of this pure aluminium body. The battery life on the M5 Dual is nothing short of amazing, since it's only a 2600 mAh battery, so it's quite small, but I could get through a day much more easier than other phones with a much bigger battery. The price for the M5 Dual is 1699 ringgit, and with that price, it's actually quite amazing for what it has to offer. It has a decent screen, a very, very good size, it has a great build quality, decent camera, and decent battery life. Now, Sony certainly hit the nail on the head with the M5 Dual, and one could only expect better things in the next M-series smartphones. And last but not least is the Sony C4 Dual. According to Strategy Analytics, this is the world's best selfie smartphone. So we will be putting that to test in just a moment, but let's go through some of the hardware first. It is a 5.5-inch IPS LCD display, powered by Android 5.0, and it's with the octa-core 1.7 GHz Cortex A53 chip, 16 gigs of internal storage, 2 gigs of RAM, micro SD card slot. The rear camera is a 13 megapixel camera, and the 5 megapixel camera LED flash is spotted at the front. Is it really the world's best selfie smartphone? Well, as usual, let's start first with how the phone looks and feel before we get into the selfie bit. I know a lot of you are craving and waiting for that moment, but hold on. For a 5.5-inch smartphone, it's actually quite huge, and the phone has quite a big border around the screen. It's not that comfortable for one-hand usage, and it doesn't really have the aluminium body like the M5 or the Z3. Now, the price for the C4 is not that cheap, however. It's 1,299 ringgit. And with that price, it's quite on the steep end of low-range smartphones. But in terms of software, just like the previous two, it's the same kind of experience and it doesn't really feel very slow or laggy. But let's get straight to the point where of the front camera, since after all, this is deemed as the world's best selfie smartphone by Strategy Analytics. However, I'm sad to report that this isn't the world's best selfie smartphone. It does take a decent enough selfie and it's quite good in low light thanks to the front-facing LED flash. But under bright light and indoor light, it's just not as good as what you'd expect it to be, especially when it's branded as the world's best selfie smartphone. It isn't as mind-blowing as you expected it to be. The rear camera does a decent job, just like any other camera, is good enough for your Facebook, for your Instagram, and all that stuff. And the front camera, well, you know, it could be better. Not the world's best selfie smartphone, but maybe there are some elements that, you know, we didn't take into consideration when Strategy Analytics was doing their review. And with that price, it does feel a little bit too expensive compared to what you can get if you just add in a couple more hundred of ringgit with the M5. Now, for something that's not smartphone related, let's talk about headsets. But headsets that are meant for work, for calls. You know, when it comes to making headsets for work, for calls, there's only one brand that has been actively engaging with the industry to sort of create the perfect headset. And that brand is Jabra. And this time I'm reviewing the Jabra Evolve 65 headset. The design of this headset is compact. It's very small. And it's quite surprising for its build quality, looking at the size and the compactness of it. The ear cups have a very soft foam that sits around perfectly on your ears. The mic can be turned up and will automatically switch off when you pull it back down. It turns on automatically. On the left ear cup is the power button and the Bluetooth toggle connect. The ear cups can fold flat and it can be stored very easily. Now, in terms of connecting it to my devices for recordings and phone calls, the Evolve 65 was a breeze and setup was easy. It was literally just plug and play. The audio quality is one of the things that makes or break a good headset, and thankfully the Evolve 65 does deliver. It's a very good one as well. I mean, the audio quality is very clear, it's very sharp. Do bear in mind though that this isn't meant for music. The sound for music tends to be a bit flat but slightly heavier on the bass. It's meant for great phone calls and conference calls. The Jabra Evolve 65 is a great headset for those who require a good workhorse headset for conference calls, for other types of communication, Skype and so forth. If you are one of those persons that sit on your desk and answer a lot of phone calls, you may want to look into a proper good working headset that is meant for phone calls. It is a bit costly though, as the Evolve 65 retails at 885 ringgit for the stereo version. And that is it for the reviews from all the smartphones and also a bonus Jabra headset review. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.